B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Toby Altizer in for JP today alongside Brian Mitchell. Appreciate Jeffrey Chedia for joining us from NFL.com. I want to take a look at the current odds for NFL MVP. We'll also take a look at Rookie of the Year because that's been a topic that people have been discussing online recently, is that maybe Bo Nix is improving his chances, but
Hell no.
We'll talk about that in just a second.
How many weeks he won?
I don't know. Has he? How many weeks has he won Rookie of the Week?
Maybe one.
Not many.
Maybe one.
Yeah, it's not
so,
many.
No, stop fooling yourself, people.
Well, maybe that ends that discussion there. NFL MVP, though, right now Josh Allen leading that. Lamar Jackson just slightly behind him. Then Jared Goff and Jalen Hurts and Patrick Mahomes rounding out the top five. Who would be your MVP right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'll go with Josh.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Josh. I think.
See, I know people say if Cincinnati, well, they're not.
Yeah.
You can't be MVP if you're not winning games.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow's been playing so well, but they're not winning.
What happened with Joe a lot, too, they're losing, so he's throwing a lot.
True.
So that a lot. And then what when they're down by two scores, three scores, what do people play on defense? Prevent.
Yeah.
So he's going to get those chunk yards.
And Josh Allen's playing some of the best football of his career this year.
Well, he's playing the best football of his
year. I think I'm curious your thoughts on this. We've seen this with a couple of different quarterbacks, and I think you saw it with Josh Allen for a couple weeks this year. When you have a quarterback who has a clear number one, who's one of the best in the league, and then you take that away, sometimes that quarterback has to play the quarterback position a little bit more and improves. I think you saw this from my time up in Wisconsin. They talked about this happening with Brett Favre when Sterling Sharp retired. They saw him improve and be better, not just always throwing it to Sharp. I think you saw this a little bit with Matthew Stafford when Calvin Johnson retired.
Yeah.
You know, I think you learn how to play the quarterback position a little bit more. Josh Allen, he loses Stephon Diggs. Now, luckily for Buffalo, they go get Amari Cooper a couple weeks later. But I think those first couple weeks, you saw him play quarterback a little more than he had been.
When you have a guy who's your go-to, and that's the main guy, and he's a guy that demands the ball, the quarterback drops back and look for him. When you don't have that guy, you drop back and you run the offense. And if you run the offense the way it's supposed to be ran, then you're more difficult to stop for a defense. So he's become that. And then now, once you begin to have a defense try to stop the offense, which leaves a lot of holes,
yeah.
Now his athleticism is even more important.
Well, I think that's something that you've seen with Jaden this year. They don't force feed the ball to Terry.
No, they don't.
They don't. It just kind of goes to whoever is open.
But whenever you go to him, he make big plays.
And that's a credit to for what credit to what Jaden's been able to do. But I think with Josh Allen, with him being able to do that on top of his superhuman ability, just rocket arm, he's been really good too, limiting those turnovers, which has been something that's been a bugaboo for him.
That's what I've been most impressed by.
Because for him, I mean, for the longest time, that was the issue. Like, the running's always been there. His arm's always been there. It's just he made boneheaded decisions.
He was a Tom at one point.
Yeah.
Turnover machine. Yeah.
Yeah, far too often. And I think Lamar's having a great season once again.
Mm-hmm.
But they've kind of come back down to earth a little bit, that Ravens team, even though that offense still seems like it's spectacular. You go out, see what they did against Pittsburgh. Yeah. Pittsburgh was able to hold them in check.
Well, you know, you got two magicians on that Steelers defense.
Yeah.
You know, and when you can, the thing I've said to people, the way you beat the Ravens, if you have to stop Henry, you got to get him before he gets started. Because if you allow him to get started, then all of a sudden now you got to have everybody to try and stop him, and you leave those edges for Lamar, and you got to bring people up. Now they get one-on-one, and when Lamar can run, what does the defensive back do? He looks at Lamar, and boom, say, now it gets 5 yards on you. You know, so that team is scary, but if you can stop Derrick Henry, you stop that offense.
Yeah, Lamar has been intriguing because last year he was so good, and early season he was kind of off to another MVP-type start. It slowed down a little bit, but I also think, like you saw him, he struggled against Pittsburgh. That's something that our guy Jeffrey Chedia, that had joined us in the last segment, had wrote about when he was talking about don't overreact to some of these things. Lamar Jackson is 1-4 against the Steelers over his last five times playing them, and he just didn't do a whole lot. He didn't look like the Lamar Jackson that you'd seen all throughout the season. He wasn't completing passes. He wasn't running all over the place. Ryan Clark was kind of talking about this last night before the game.
The Steelers hindered Lamar Jackson.
They hindered Lamar Jackson.
The two-time MVP?
Yeah.
And people are trying to blast Jaden Daniels because they hindered him?
Well, exactly. I mean, you look, 16 points for Baltimore, 27 for Washington.
I'm just saying.
And they should have won that game against Pittsburgh if a couple plays. Well, and I think, too, I mean, look at what they have to deal with when they play Lamar. They know how to defend a quarterback like that. So they're clearly going to have a better game plan against a Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, yeah.
I think for Jaden, if you change three or four passes that were drops into catches, they win that ball game.
Yeah.
And he was, what, 17 to 34 that day? You say 17 to 34 for 202, say he makes four more completions.
Yeah, it was 21 to 34. It was five balls that were dropped that should have been caught.
Well,
I'm talking about not balls that were in the area, balls that hit both hands.
Exactly. So 21, let's just say 21 to 34 for 250. That's not a bad day.
No.
He didn't play that. Like, you go back and watch the Pittsburgh game, he was inaccurate more so than he has been all year. He wasn't bad against Pittsburgh.
No, he wasn't. I think the problem is, people today don't look at the game of football. They look at the stats.
Exactly right.
All people do is open to see what the stats are, and then they want to try to really impress you by saying advanced stats. I'm like, you have to watch the damn game to know what's happening. You know, there are a lot of quarterbacks that go 18 of 28, and guess what? There were four balls dropped. And when you look at that, you go, well, damn, the guy played good. So numbers don't tell the whole story in sports.
Well, I mean, you just look at the game on Sunday night. Both those quarterbacks, I thought, played well, more so one each half. Like, you look at Herbert in that first half, I think that was one of the best halves I've seen a quarterback play all year. Second half, not so much. But you just look at both of their numbers, because Burrow was good in the second half, and they're not, you know, in terms of completion percentage, they're not completing 75% of their passes.
No.
It's just, to me, what happened with this B-Mitch, and this is where I sound like an old man, despite being 26, I think...
Nah, you just telling us that the old people mindset is better. I understand.
Well, in a lot of ways it is. I'll give you that. I think fantasy football and red zone have done that a little bit to people, where fantasy football, if your quarterback doesn't throw for 300 yards, he didn't have a good day. That's not the case.
Yeah. First of all, sports, no matter what sport it is, has always been about one thing, winning.
Yeah.
We have now made the sport, if you don't basically have a perfect game, you're not good. And, you know, fans will go around saying that crap. Oh, man, he don't pass for 300 yards. They're 9-0. They're 7-2.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares about what you think about some numbers? And the ultimate thing is, we, in this sport and in the industry we do, we got to be careful with that. Because we make people think that's all that matters. Hell, I care about you winning the game. If you go out there right now, don't have a yard passing, and you win every damn game, I would not give a damn. I'll be happy as hell.
Yeah, I mean, it's to me with this stuff where you look at only the stats. You're right. You got to watch the games. Yeah. It changes so much of what you're looking at, and you look at what has happened. This is why I have an issue with some of the stuff that I'm glad they're changing some of the product to make it really entertaining for people, and I'm glad they like it. But you hear people complain, "Oh, this NFL's not good." No, you're used to watching just people in the red zone.
Yeah.
You're not used to watching the actual game of football between the 20s.
Yeah.
You complain because, this isn't good. No, defense is still good. I don't know where we got to this point where...
The offense has to be good.
Exactly.
For football to be good.
Exactly right.
Trash.
I mean, people, you know, you go back 10 years, think back to that time frame and watching SEC football, and you're watching Alabama and Georgia. Every single game finished at like 17-14.
Hey,
and it's glorious. It's fun to watch.
Everybody looks for the big play. Like red zone shows you scoring plays and big plays. You know what I like to watch when I'm watching football games?
Football.
I like to watch the line of scrimmage, because that will tell you, watch the line of scrimmage from the side view and tell me about, if you watch that and don't look at anything else, I guarantee you know who won that football game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But most people cannot look at that and decipher anything from it, because most people don't know a damn thing about football. All they know about is scoring.
Yeah.
And they know about stats, but they can't tell you nothing about the game of football.
Well, and if you want to know why Washington lost their last two games, look at the line of scrimmage.
Hell yeah. They lost.
Getting dominated up front.
One thing, every week they ask me, what's my keys to winning? I can give you two of them every week. Turnover battle, win the line of scrimmage. And then I can throw something else in on top of that. because that matters in every game.
Well, and it's funny because they'll say, well, it's a cliche, it's an old
cliche,
adage.
Nothing.
The reason it's a cliche is because it's true.
Listen to me, man.
Mattered since they started football to now. It matters.
If your team is on offense and their team's on defense, whatever side of the ball is going backwards, that side is losing.
Yeah.
And you flip it over, your team is now on defense, theirs on offense. If your defensive line is getting knocked back, they are losing. So for everybody, you want to learn a little bit more about football, look at the line of scrimmage. Stop just looking for the big plays. Like, I hear people, listen, I hear it all the time, and I don't care who gets mad. Everybody in the media always tell me how much they watch film. You know what I tell most of them? You watch TV. You don't watch film. Because if you're really watching film, if you're finishing up that whole game in like an hour or something, you're not watching film.
Yeah, it takes time.
It takes longer to watch film than it does to play the game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I could give you one series, and I promise you, you get to watch film the right way, that one series might take you an hour and something to watch it.
Yeah, it takes some time. Taking a look at the Offensive Rookie of the Year odds, Jaden's still a heavy favorite. He's quite ahead of Bo Nix. Then you got Drake May, and then you got Brock Bowers. Just comparing the stats, though, this is why it's become a discussion recently. Bo Nix has just under 2,300 passing yards, just under 300 rushing yards, 19 total touchdowns. Jaden with 2,300 passing yards, just under 500 rushing yards and 14 total touchdowns. So, you know, better rushing numbers, better passing numbers, five fewer touchdowns. But to your point, B. Mitch, one, Jaden missed a full game essentially against Carolina. Mm-hmm. So those numbers, you can add a couple hundred to, you know, the passing numbers and rushing numbers. But he's also won Rookie of the Week darn near every time he stepped on the football field.
Yeah.
Like, and to
people
me,
forget that.
Exactly. I mean, it's just, like, he's played so well. And to me, you know, Bo Nix has been doing much better recently. But if you're going to consider a second legitimate contender in this, it almost has to be Brock Bowers, the way that he's playing in Vegas. And I know they're not playing winning football, but you look at him so far this year as a rookie tight end, 70 receptions, 706 receiving yards, only three touchdowns. He's on pace for 1,200 yards receiving as a rookie tight end.
Hey, if a rookie tight end get 1,200 yards, he's in the picture.
Absolutely. And to me, like, Bo Nix is playing well.
The problem, everyone feels that when a quarterback's involved, they have to win. Every quarterback shouldn't win every damn award.
Agreed.
You need to make a quarterback award and make the other people award. Because there are some guys who are just as important to the team as the damn quarterback is.
Well, and I think, you know, when you're talking about this Offensive Rookie of the Year, I mean, it's pretty clear to me that Jaden is the most valuable rookie quarterback, the way that he's playing, when you just evaluate what he's being asked to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I lay this out for people all the time. When you think about Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, they would figure everything out pre-snap, and when they ran the football, they needed to make sure they're running into the right look, then they would hand it off, the play's over for them.
Yeah.
That's not the case for Jaden.
Oh, no.
A simple handoff is a read of the defensive end, reading if he's going to throw the slant in behind it. There's not a single play for Jaden that he takes off.
No.
And that's what's so impressive. Like, I went back and watched the Cincinnati game. The second half there, and I'm not talking just passing decision, I'm talking every decision, you might have changed one. And that's how good he's been playing. Now, you know, recently he struggled a little bit, but the amount of stuff that is on Jaden's plate, I don't think people understand.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much they're asking him to do, and he's doing it well.
And he's passing it with flying colors.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely spectacular. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll get you heard it here first. You're listening to B. Mitch and Finley on The Fan.